Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome back, everybody, to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And I'm excited to have the guest I have today because we have been together many times sharing the stage and had not enough time getting to know each other. And so the last time we were together, we said, we need to connect. And I said, I need to get you on to the podcast. So I want to welcome Alec Stern. Welcome, Alec.
Thank you, Sharon. So great to be here.
And many of you probably know the name of the company, Constant Contact. Well, we're going to talk today as we talk about Play Big. Alec was part of the founding of that company, and it was founded in an attic. And of course, the rest is history. We're going to talk about those early days on identifying a problem and a need that needed to be served and creating a solution to that. And of course, the rest is history. And Alec today helps many, many different companies as an angel investor and certainly as a mentor. And I will tell you, he goes around the country to participate in these events to support young entrepreneurs. And he does it. I mean, I don't know anybody that smiles as much as Alec does. You have the greatest smile, and he's always there. Thanks. So generous of spirit and support. And I just acknowledge you so much. And it's exciting to me to finally have you on this so you can share it with the audience of the Play Big Movement and know that, it is possible. Everything is possible. You know, and when I speak, I show the picture of the idea for a board game that was the genesis of the entire Rich Dad empire. So talk about that 3 years in the attic, that initial time when you got together and said, let's do this. Talk about playing big, Alec.
Sure. No, thank you. And I appreciate the compliments in the opening there. I do want to just say that I love the fact that I can take the time and pay it forward and give back and get out and meet as many entrepreneurs and startups as I can, as well as small businesses, and help them where I can. So, and the beginning stage of Constant Contact, myself and one of my co-founders, the three of us when we started, both were working with small business. We had passion to help small business. And we saw kind of a problem on the front end of things versus the back end with like e-commerce and payment and merchant systems and so on. But on the front end, on the marketing side, where larger competitors were really just getting going and started to pump a lot of time and money in, like Amazon and others, AOL, anyone who was sort of working with small businesses. And they had agencies and they had IT teams and marketing teams and enterprise tools and solutions. But when you walk down Main Street, they had nothing. And so we wanted to level the playing field for those small businesses and let them, from in the digital perspective, create email marketing campaigns initially to where they could send something out that looks just as good and not necessarily get caught up in having to know technology or have a team to do it. How could they self-serve with something? And that was sort of the original premise to level that playing field.
And so when you guys got together and decided, and I think you originally were called Roving Software, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, because I talk about that our original brand we thought was Cashflow, and actually the world told us, no, it's Rich Dad. When you initially came up with the idea and you created it, what did you envision the incredible growth that you had in that company?
Not at all. I think, we always have the, God, imagine what this could be. And, we didn't spend a lot of time thinking about that. When you think about small businesses and, in North America, between small businesses, associations, and nonprofits, there's 30 plus million. you know, I think what we were really saying is, how do we get to them? How are we going to be able to potentially, you know, build a business? And of course, when we went out to talk to potential banks about loans and venture capitalists and angel investors about money and, you know, others, you know, that could maybe come into the mix and help, we got a lot of no's, and we heard a lot of objection around, no one sells to small businesses. You know, how are you going to go door to door? You need an army of salespeople. You know, the list went on of sort of all the no's. And we basically went out with a very, very early idea that was not even finished, and put that in front of and talked to small businesses, our target market. And when we got out there and we asked them first questions, you know, what are your challenges and what would make your business more successful? And they said, God, it'd be great if I could get my customers to buy more, if I could get them to come back in, if I could get them to tell others, if I could just stay top of mind and be able to, you know, remind them that I'm here so that they, you know, think about coming back into my restaurant or my store or my gallery or my law firm or my whatever. You know, it was really that. And when we got out there and we talked about what we could potentially do, and then we could just show some even early mock-ups, we saw how they got wide-eyed, because we gave them an opportunity to potentially stay in front of their customers and drive additional business while leveling that playing field.
Yeah. You gave them the solution to what they were trying to do and striving to do. But I think what you just said, for those people watching and listening, you know, this is a testament in perseverance, because you said you went out and you got no's, no's, and no's for financing, and then you actually went to the target audience, and you were welcome because you provided the solution. And that's, you know, we kind of keep talking about with small businesses, is that's kind of what, when you know you're solving a problem or serving a need, that's kind of gets you through those no's, right? You know that there's a need for it. You know the people that you can help people be better in their businesses. And so those no's are just like, okay, next, who's next, right?
Yeah. And I do treat no's as a not now, so I never take it personally.
Yeah.
But it did get us to spend additional time. And really, you know, when we got out and we did talk to those small businesses and we saw how wide-eyed they got with how we could help them, that was giving us the motivation and the drive to say, okay, we're on to something. We just got to figure out, you know, how what's our go-to-market and how will we potentially scale this thing, which was, you know, obviously that's always the challenge when you start to, you know, you might be able to go get a handful of customers, but how do you go get, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions? Yeah.
So, and it may have been the financing, but if you could share one of the biggest stumbling blocks, and then maybe, you know, let's match that with your aha moment when you know you've got something that really has potential.
Sure. Well, starting a business is not easy, and there's always, you know, roadblocks. And I think the first thing I'd say about that is just, you know, and something I had to learn. But there's always going to be some challenge. We wake up every day, we go into our startup or a small business, we start to create a list, we put something on a line on a piece of paper, we put a little box next to it so we could check it that day to finish it off. And if it's a big obstacle or something in front of us, we usually just leave it there. We get, you know, tied up, and it's there for a week, it's there for a month, you know, it doesn't go away. And so I think one of the biggest things is just how do you knock those things down? How do you break them down, chunk it up, break, you know, go talk to somebody who's had the challenge before you, because you're not the first, and how did they knock it down, or how did they fail at knocking it down, so you can learn, because sitting right behind is a bigger one, and after that is another bigger one, and you need the muscle memory to be able to do that. So the obstacles kept coming, and I think, you know, we just had to learn really early how to knock them down. I think the first big kind of one big one would be, when we started, and this is going to sort of date ourselves, you know, going back 20 years, you know, there are a lot of things that didn't exist. You know, we all talk about SaaS and cloud. Well, none of that existed. So we had to put our software on a CD and go bring it out to a small business, or in a couple of cases, the first two of them had a marketing partner or a developer partner that helping them, that we brought it to them, and they had to load it on a computer so that they can, in fact, access, you know, what we were doing. And in the very early days, you know, most people say, well, we're not ready to give it to our customers, you know, need to do more work on it. We just said, let's just get it in their hands. And guess what? It would break and we'd have issues. And, we all worked toward the common goal of trying to get them what they needed to solve the problem, but also do it in a fashion where the that it actually didn't break and would work. So I would deliver a CD, come back to the office, and like, you got to bring them another one. We found a bug, you know. And so we kind of had to iterate through that a lot. So that was a challenge that existed then. That's now taken away today with SaaS and the ability to put things up online and easily get folks to sort of take a product, try it, and give you feedback.
That reminds me of our early days at Rich Dad, because back then there was no internet, there was no Amazon. And so as a new company, we literally had to get CDs into the bookstores around the country so that if somebody was asking for Rich Dad Poor Dad, they could look it up. They would fax me an order right here to our publishing company Mike and I own, and that I'd get the order fax, I'd turn around and I'd ship the book to them. And it was, you know, that's how we got started, one book at a time. And it's amazing when you see where we are today, and it's so much easier to start a business and to communicate to it was back then. So what was that aha moment when you realized this is a winner and it's going to go big?
Yeah, so I guess it starts with the problem, solving the problem, which turned into the aha moment. But my background was really around, and the go-to-market was around building channels. Like, how do you leverage yourself to sell through others to get to your target market? You know, we couldn't go door-to-door to every small business around the world, in fact. We had to find a way to get to those. And so when Constant Contact started, most people don't know, we were 100% channels. We found channel partners in all different types of categories, shapes, sizes, local, national, but they were all sort of a trusted source in some ways, or a resource to small businesses. And so once we identified categories and partners within, and we worked with them to bring Constant Contact and expose it to their target audience, in some cases they did a lot more and even helped them with it if they were a local marketing agency and so forth. But that was the aha moment. Okay, like we knew we couldn't scale it door to door. And our answer was that building out like a robust channel, channel strategy that today is over 8,000 strong, you know, and going strong, because there were all these different sort of categories and partners that we could work with to get to that target market.
And so what you guys are hearing and watching and listening to Alec talk about these channel partners, that is the embodiment of when I talk about the power of association. You know, you can scale a lot quicker when you use other people's money, other people's time, other people's resources. And so that's what they did. They went to organizations that already had the network of potential customers and made them look good by providing this resource to their people. And that's, you know, the power of association. I think you, Alec, you and I both emphasize that very much when we teach and we mentor young companies. Is business is a team sport. So it's your team that's with you every day, but your team also includes those partners out there that are willing to support you. And some of us call them affiliates, channel partners. It's all the power of association. So
right. And I love that you talk of it as being association, and it's also specifically associations. Because when I go out and speak, you know, I'll challenge a room and say, okay, there's going to be at least 15 to 20 channel partner categories that you all can focus on, and that would get you to a huge chunk of your sort of target market. But the one everyone shares is association and member orgs. And so there's the association of anything, local, national, you know, regional, networking events around that. And so you could easily get in front of your target market simply by finding the associations where the like-minded folks of who you're trying to sell to gather through those association and member orgs. And that's the one everyone, on the call shares with their target market.
So today, when you're working with these young entrepreneurs and you spend so much time giving back, what do you find is what's the strongest thing that holds people back from playing big?
That's great, great, great question. I think the first thing is, and I'll ask a room from whether it's 10 people or 5,000 people in a room, show of hands, how many of you know the one core thing that you're going to do in your business to help your target market that will get you to succeed? How many know that one core thing? Show of hands is typically 5%. So what that says is, you know, most of them are wide-eyed themselves and saying, well, I'm going to do so much to help my target market. And here's the 10 things I'm going to do for them. But if you don't figure out that first one and nail it, and if you nail it, what happens? You get revenue, you get, you know, case studies, you get feedback, you can then hire people, the flywheel gets going, that helps you grow your business, and then you can go find ones that are adjacent to it, and then ones that are totally different, you know, and you see that in every large company that succeeds, they find other markets to sort of tackle, but you got to find the first one. And most people, they're just so excited to do so much to help the target market. And believe me, if I had a wheel and every spoke on that wheel was a different idea we had initially to help small business, we were there too. But we had to find the one spoke or the bullseye on that dartboard, which was email marketing, which for us to then launch and then have success, to which fueled the growth for us to then go on and do other things.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I talk about defining your niche, right? And becoming an authority in that one thing. And that's an issue that I have too, because, given the length of my history in business, I'm an expert in personal finance and entrepreneurship and teaching your kids and women and money. So it's something that you have to focus on what the message is to the audience that you have, and not get too watered down with way too many choices. It's something that you have to focus on. So what's next for you, Alec? I know you are just constantly giving back and supporting people. Is there, what's happening in Alec's world?
Sure. So I do spend about a third of my time going around speaking, which has been great. And I love to be in front of startups and small businesses. I spend about a third of my time as with some of my own investments, but also part of G20 Ventures here in Boston, which is, I'm a limited partner, and we do tech related investments sort of on the East Coast. But the main thing, and that I'm really excited about, is I'm a co-founder and CEO of Point to Point Global. So it's Point with the number two. Point2PointGlobal.com, and it's an international shipping and logistics, which is completely outside of tech, software, SaaS, but maybe other side of the brain to a certain extent. But I'm lucky to have this founding team, 60 plus years experience in the space. My co-founder and I were first roommates out of college. We always said we wanted to do something together.
That's fun.
And so he's had success, and last company recently had called iParcel had sold to UPS, and I guess putting some of that band back together, and plus myself and the fourth person who came in the attic, our first hire is our CMO, Michelle, and we were able to team up to help them drive the go-to-market and the channel strategy and other things around an industry that's obviously been around for a very long time, but doing it in a way where we can be more efficient, responsive, more cost-effective, and taking either packages, parcels, or printed matter, direct mail pieces, magazines, books, et cetera, from the U.S. and shipping them into 200 countries on behalf of the different folks that are our target market of e-commerce, retail, publisher, and ad agency.
Well, with everybody now being able to go global in a much easier format, I think that's that company, everybody needs to write it down, Point to Point Global. I know from my entire career since the 80s with talking books, we've always had, it's always a dilemma to find the right partner that can help you get your stuff where it needs to be, when it needs to be, and make sure it's not damaged and, it's trackable. So you're definitely solving another need out there. My husband went hunting last year, and it's taken us forever to get his, the heads shipped here. We had a nightmare, so I should have called you. I should have called you, Alec. So, thank you so much for your time. We're going to go into a little small private one, but if people want to find you, Alec, how can they find you?
Yes. So, fortunately, I guess being in the tech industry for a while now. Everything is my name Alecstern. So Alec Stern, you can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, the list goes on. So there's no other, characters or symbols needed, just my name at. So.
Yeah. And that's, and that's strong enough because you've had an incredible career, and truly, you're not sitting on your laurels. You're out there continuing to add value. We talk about adding value to people's lives every day, and you definitely do. It's been, my honor to know you, and I'm excited. So stay tuned, because he's going to be part of the shorter interview in the private Facebook group. But Alec, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your wisdom with our folks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lechter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lechter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.